going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Great stuff, Will. Thank you, buddy. Really good. Really enjoyed it.
Where is our man, David? Is he like? Is he really on vacation? Or
no,
he's
got a week off.
Wandering around Indiana.
He's an Indiana boy.
He could be wandering around Indiana. I don't know how he's spending his vacation.
Vegas Haw! Vegas Haw!
And I bet on the Bulls.
Oh no!
He kept it top secret.
I guess what I want to say is he didn't have any big scheduled getaway. You know what I mean?
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Vacation honeydews.
There you go. Exactly. A lot of work to get done.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
I thought about what you said, take a vacation for my problems, and I did.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, Mr. David, welcome home. You missed a wild week. It must have been difficult not to call in and check in on some of the wild stories.
Morning, Mully. Happy Monday. Oh, boy, it was hard. It was very difficult. Yes, I had to resist the urge to wake up at 4 in the morning. That was a tough one. That was difficult, indeed.
There was a lot going on.
I was glad. I was thrilled. I listened a little bit. I know you're not supposed to do that when you're away, but I did listen a little. I was enthralled by everything, and you guys did a terrific job. People came in. What was it? We had a cast of characters in here.
Yeah, we had Bigsy, I think, on Monday.
Bigsy, Dan Wiederer.
Dan Wiederer. Rami Makloff
and then Ruthie. Back to back.
Yeah, Ruthie.
Back to back. I had to get back. They were very good. I didn't want to get pipped.
Well, it was a really good week of news. Starting with Rory and that whole thing last Sunday.
Which I watched and appreciated.
And enjoyed. I almost said it was good. It was just like such an up and down and wild. It was fairly incredible. And we talked a little bit about the fallout from that. In other words,
well, that was bigger than just a sports story.
But winning in the fashion in which he did.
It was dramatic. It was redemptive. It was relatable. It was all those things.
But does that make winning the next one easier?
No.
Because, my God, he went through. It was like watching. It was like you were inside a man's ego id and you were trying to.
The sequel's never as good as the original. And it will be very difficult to top that.
And that was
in
100 years ago. And then
a lot of history.
And then there was the Bulls. You missed the whole Bulls debacle.
I watched it.
Horrible game.
I did watch it.
The awful news conference. There was a lot.
I've seen that one before.
Pick over.
Now, that was something I have seen and heard before.
Yeah,
unfortunately, the news conference. And unfortunately, we've been in this situation with the Bulls before. Feels a little bit more frustrating this time around. Third year in a row.
And we knew, like, thanks to Casey, he had kind of steeled us for what to expect. And just the conversations we've had with him.
Okay, that brings us to Wednesday, right? That was Wednesday night. That was Wednesday night. I remember watching Wednesday night and being disappointed, but also relieved I didn't have to get up and regurgitate everything I felt at that moment.
Yeah, it was a tough one.
So that was Wednesday.
The Cubs.
What came next?
The Cubs were in the news all weekend, obviously, the Justin Steele stuff. Your guy, Matt Shaw, we've got to get.
Oh, very disappointed.
Any kind of take from you on that?
Very disappointed.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, I can't say I was surprised, but I was very disappointed based on, the preseason glee with which I spoke of Matt Shaw.
I was there for his first home run. I saw your reaction to it. So I thought of you.
Come on, we bonded with the kid. We had a moment.
I felt bad for him when he went down.
And I think everybody felt a certain sense of excitement when you promote the prospect and maybe rush him to the majors.
Sure.
You think this time he's ready. This time he wasn't.
And that leads us to the White Sox bringing up Chase Madroff. And
I know he'd be happy for me, but I went to a Sox game while I was gone.
Did you really?
Yeah, back when they were hosting the Red Sox.
Boy, that was good stuff.
That was there that day.
They won.
The day they won.
They won
Saturday.
Again yesterday. Their first road win comes against the Red Sox.
I wasn't there.
They're 3-3 this year again.
They played them very well.
They've won 5 games.
They were very competitive over the weekend. I feel like, they play today. It's kind of the wraparound series.
They play this morning.
Yes,
right?
This morning. Happy Patriots Day.
10-10 first pitch.
Patriots Day, correct? 10-10. Well, we're going straight from here to where do you want to go to watch the Sox game? You think I know sports bars will be crowded in downtown Chicago watching the Sox. Where should we go?
Sadly, I cannot attend. Okay. Mondays and Thursdays.
Oh, that's right.
Only days of the week.
Well, here's what we'll do. What we'll do. Wherever you're going to work out, we will put the Sox on the screen.
Okay, great.
And you'll get more motivated.
We'll booze up while I try to lift a few weights.
Well, you can lift and you can work out. You can stretch. We'll take care of the rest. Yeah, Sox, a little more competitive. We'll talk about them. The injury to Martin Perez is not insignificant.
Yeah.
They've got some pieces. Yesterday was a good day for Sean Burke. They came back. They won. It was a
first time.
Easter miracle.
They've come back after the sixth inning, and they went
long
0
time
for 79 last year.
Long time.
When they were down in the sixth.
Yeah.
So it's good that they actually came back. They actually have gotten to their fifth win a week earlier than last year.
Okay.
A week earlier.
Well, you feel better about their direction, at least.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, they're very limited talent-wise.
They've
got some nice little stories going on, though. Edgar Carroll was a nice little call-up, and he's done some nice things.
The Bears.
Well, this is Monday of draft week. This is a big deal. It's a big week
going.
In Chicago.
That's it.
In NFL cities, this is a week you sell hope for in places you need to sell hope, and Chicago's one of them.
Days
this is going to be fun.
Days away. Did you realize that they have their third selection in this draft?
Okay.
Before 24 of the 32 teams will make their second selection.
You're going to have to go over that again. You're going to have to go over the math there.
Okay.
So they're making the third pick before.
Because they have such high draft picks.
Right.
Both the number 10 overall pick and then two in the early second round.
Three of the top 41, correct?
They will make their third pick of this upcoming draft before 24 of the 32 teams make their second pick.
That's a really good
and the upcoming
nugget
draft.
There. That's a definitely a good nugget.
That tells you that there is a pathway to get better before others do.
David Sivertson's going to help us find that pathway, 725.
Yes.
Our lads guy, he's terrific.
Yeah,
looking forward to seeing who they might be leaning toward as the people that are studying this as we get closer, what they think the Bears are leaning toward, maybe at 10. But those first three picks, as you point out, because they're going to get three theoretical starters, day one starters. That's what you're looking for. Three of the first 41 are guys that you think that should be ready, could be ready to start if you need them to.
Immediate impact. That's what you're after. And you're after not just immediate impact, but guys that can get better with your group and that can succeed in, at the NFL.
I saw
level.
Ben Johnson throw out the first pitch.
He
took a nice picture with Craig Counsell.
Did a good job.
I wondered, that picture, you frame it, put it up in Dustin's man cave. Who gets the championship first?
Yeah, I mean, we're miles away from both of that, although Craig is
who competes for a championship first?
Craig is all right. Got the better opportunity.
He's got the better opportunity. Who
the way the season is
who
gone?
Do you have more faith in to win a championship in Chicago? Maybe that's a better way to phrase the question. Maybe that should have been the pick six today. Can we redo that?
Wait. Yeah, I think we kind of talked about some.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
missed
saying,
that.
No, you haven't missed anything. I'm saying we have talked about the young coaches and it's the talent level that makes you worry. I think the Bears, for instance, need to really strike gold in the draft in order to get to a place where they can make more of an impact. It feels like the Cubs, even with Justin Steele down, even with some question marks, they are scoring runs.
That's true.
In bundles.
The offense is one of those lineups, as we'll discuss. Ben Brown was correct. That does look like arguably one of the best lineups in the National League. My question would be that, though, when you look at a picture of Craig Counsell and Ben Johnson, which manager, skipper, if you will, which leader, if you will, do you have more faith or more belief or more enthusiasm that he will lead you, if you're a fan of the Cubs or a fan of the Bears, some people are a fan of both, if they will lead you to a championship?
But the problem with that is that Ben Johnson hasn't overseen a single game.
I know. And yet...
And I think a lot of people would lean toward that one, David, but that's part of the hype machine of the offseason.
Well, I think that's part of the fascination of the question for me, is that like we believe a lot, I don't want to say we, a lot of people do believe in that the premise of the question is valid because there's so much blind faith in Ben Johnson before he's coached his first game.
And I don't want to not have it because I have handed my draft concern over to Ben Johnson. He's in charge. He gets to make the call.
Well, that's a smart transfer of responsibility.
Yeah, that's what.
And that's a significant.
It's one the Bears should take.
Well, it's one I think they've taken.
I
don't think we have any tangible evidence of that. We may get it on draft night. Well, depending on who they take. But you're exactly right. That is what this offseason's all about. And you can apply that to how you view this year's draft. I think Thursday night, they will go to the podium, hand in the card, press send, whatever, and whoever they select will be somebody they believe will be a starter when they compete in a Super Bowl. Because they believe that Ben Johnson is here to do that. And I think people are buying into that.
Yes. There's a lot of bias.
I don't think that's always the case when you have a new coach.
Well, it hasn't always been the case here.
No.
With some of the new coaches.
I don't think that when Matt Eberflus was here in 2022 throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley, you looked at him and you thought, wow. And his first draft, whoa, he's going to select somebody that's going to start in a Super Bowl. But I think Thursday night, that's what you're looking for if you're the Bears, if you're a Bears fan, with the number one pick, 10th overall, the Bears select X. And that player will be somebody you have to envision when you are ambitious and you dream a little is going to be starting for the Bears whenever they play in a Super Bowl.
How many stud players, how many blues do you believe there are in the first round of this draft?
Oh, less than a dozen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean seven?
Maybe half that. Yeah.
Seven?
Seven, maybe.
You're getting to the point
that's
where...
That's if you count two tight ends.
If you count two tight ends, but two tight ends are counted by many people.
Yes,
this is great to get into. We got the week to discuss it, but I think when you're talking about what the Bears are looking at 10, it depends on how many teams are compelled to draft for need and take a player that isn't considered a blue player because they need him in the way of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears are left to pick somebody who is a blue player but might not be a position that you think that they need as much as the others.
I am, and we will talk beginning with David Silverston this morning at 7:25 from our lads. We will discuss where the quarterbacks are going and what that means, how many will be taken.
Yeah.
The more information that's coming in, it feels like even though there's always going to be a quarterback panic – it feels like teams are passing on quarterbacks, so to speak, pardon the pun. But I will be very curious to see if there is any way that a second quarterback goes in the top 10, because it's looking increasingly like teams are zeroing in on a couple of those top-end players, particularly, you know, Abdul Carter's not going anywhere. And
I'm with you, but I also think that it may be what people want us to think.
Oh, no, no, I'm not arguing that, but I'm just saying it feels, it doesn't feel like it usually does.
It doesn't feel like
and
it because
you know there's been no trades. This is the longest the league has gone without the trade of a first round pick since I believe it was when Kansas City got Joe Cool, believe it or not, Joe Montana. That was 5 days before the draft.
Oh my gosh, you're going back in era now.
I'm telling you,
yeah,
that usually there's a pick already traded.
Yeah.
And at this point,
well, that's part of it. The other part of it,
a few days before the draft,
there's not a consensus on whether or not the number two available quarterback or the one ranked second, Shedeur Sanders, is a legitimate top 10 pick.
There's a feeling he isn't.
There's probably a consensus he isn't, but that's not always. It's been a couple of years since the Kenny Pickett draft where the quarterback depth has been this poor. And I think that's contributing to a lot of this stuff we're talking about. So there's not a lot of movement. There's not a lot of activity or even speculation about a team moving up to get Shedeur Sanders. People be like, what are you doing?
Right.
Just wait. He'll be there.
Right.
And that lack of activity maybe contributes to some of what you're talking about. But I do think that if you're able to get one of those, say, top seven players in the draft at 10.
Yep.
I don't want to say regardless of position, but you'll be more flexible in your thinking if you're able to get one of those guys who's at the top of your draft board.
And I agree with that. I think the worst case scenario would be if there is none of those guys at the top of your draft. In other words, if it comes time to pick and that particular group has already been selected.
True.
I don't think that will happen. I don't think there'll be two tight ends gone.
I don't either. I don't think the Bears are going to be in what, and I know you didn't mean it this way, I don't think they're going to be in a case where it's going to be worst case scenario.
Oh, I think there are still plenty of players that will fit and will be good for the Bears. I wonder if they're in trade down scenario. I hope they're not in trade up scenario because, as I mentioned to start the conversation, having three players in your room before 24 of the 32 teams get to two is a huge advantage.
Huge advantage. Strength in numbers. Here's a good text from 312 regarding the photo that I said that you would frame and put on Dustin's man cave. When Ben Johnson speaks, he commands the language. Council does not. Council's more accomplished, but Johnson sounds better.
Yeah, I understand all the arguments. I'm just saying.
It's not an argument. I just.
No, I'm saying about who's going to win first. I'm just saying the problem is we haven't even started yet. That
I know.
And so we are champing at the bit.
Yes.
As we
always are. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with the coronation.
To feel like this off season is over when it hasn't even begun.
No, it's true. It's a good point. Craig Council, too. I think not given as much credit for having the command that he does have. He's just dry. He's very dry. He's very monotone. He doesn't get too excited about anything.
And by the way, like somebody had a tweet that was traveling at lightning speed. About the reality of the last time anybody in Chicago won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are in one of the darkest periods we've been in.
It's pretty
for a
bleak.
While.
It's pretty
we
bleak.
We got a
10 years.
City of losers.
Are we looking at 10 years? This is it's been a while.
For some, it's like 20. It's a long time. It's been a major drought, and I'm talking about playoff wins, and it's
2015 was the last championship.
Yes.
With the Hawks.
Yes.
It's a decade.
Yeah.
And
but
now
I'm saying there are teams that haven't won in a long time.
Yeah, I definitely am well aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where you get a little ahead of yourself with the Bears, and I think that's part of what happens when you have, you know, the excitement and then the disappointment, expectations risen by Caleb Williams, and then you go out and you get the number one coach available during the hiring cycle.
That's
and he
big.
Does not only he does not only look like the guy that was the right person for the job, but he speaks in a way that builds and creates even more enthusiasm. You want them to get started. You can't wait for the season. You want to hear more Ben Johnson. You wanted him to get into the – why didn't he sing the seventh inning stretch? Why didn't he sing that, Dustin? What was the deal? He was there, right?
I wondered the same thing. I was waiting for
I was waiting.
It, and I didn't hear it. No.
Come on, Ben.
Maybe he's not a singer.
Come on.
Maybe he doesn't have a song in his heart.
He's got to have a song in
maybe
his heart.
Maybe he's too busy getting ready for the draft.
Maybe. Maybe.
No.
Maybe he prefers to sing math.
He's got a song in his heart. He's got a skip in his step. He's got the vocal cords. He can sing. He can sing seventh. Maybe just got
I wonder
busy.
How good the skip in his step is, because ass to ankles, that's one of the best athletes coaches.
Have you seen him squat? You ever seen him squat?
I've heard him.
Yes, he can squat. Yes, that man.
I've heard
him. He's definitely
talk.
He's loaded.
Arse to ankles.
Thunder thighs.
That's right.
Mr. Thunder
that's
thighs.
Where all the power is.
Caleb Williams was at the game too, right? Wasn't it a couple
Caleb
Bears?
Was at the.
I think he just went for PCA bobblehead
but
day.
He was at the Bulls game, and he sat right in front of Casey Johnson, and it was pretty funny. To every time they cut to Justin Fields, KC is literally right behind him.
Yeah, I saw that on the telecast. Also, Caleb Williams is becoming super fan. In the span of a week, he was at Soldier Field to see Messi play.
Mm.
Then he went to the Bulls game courtside. Then he was at PCA bobblehead day. Get that man in front of the projector, please.
Get that man in front of the playbook.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Super fan later.
And what are you doing here?
I mean,
but he did, in fairness, no, at the Bulls game, he threw it into the second row.
I did see that. Who caught? Did anyone catch that pass? They dropped
they
it?
They said that some guy was walking by with a plate of shrimp in one of the boxes and caught it in the ear.
Yeah, right.
Lawsuit pending.
And I think some guy pushed Caleb Williams over after he threw it just out of habit.
Someone sacked him.
Yeah. He was sacked on the throw.
You should have seen the two other attempted throws.
Right.
See, this isn't funny.
I like the way that he has embraced everything about Chicago, though. You got to like that if you're a sports fan. You got to like that.
Don't know that I have. I think when I find out that he's
okay, you don't have to like that. You could not like that bitter beer face. You don't have to like that.
I think it's
likable to me.
I like that he signed. KC told us that he signed the autograph of every child that came by and took selfies. And I like the availability thing, because if you choose to go out in public, that's what you're facing when you are a star of stars in the city of Chicago. So I think he handled
yes.
that well.
And he's back at work today, I presume, if the Bears are back during their offseason activities. Of course, Texas 2016 Cubs, last championship, 2015 Hawks was right before that. When was the last time the Sox won a playoff series?
You'd have to go back a long arse time, I'll tell you that. It goes back to Ozzie as manager, right?
Wow.
Have they won since then? I don't believe so.
Bears, we know that what that happened. That was 2011, in January of 2011.
It's like I mean, it just can depress you if you take a minute and look at it.
Sky
and
won
it
a title, 2021, I think.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I'm not sure that is
for the record, counselor.
Not on the list that I saw, buddy.
I'm not sure which list this is. I wasn't.
No, there was a like I said,
Twitter.
There was like a viral tweet. I got a bunch of people sending it to me.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that, it is pretty bleak right now.
Yes.
It's very bleak. And the Cubs captured our imagination. Friday was a historic day at Wrigley Field. And then
they
win again Saturday. Yesterday they blew it. And so they get the day off. Dodgers coming to town.
Did they blow it yesterday? Yeah, they blew it, huh?
Okay. I think they blew it. Dustin, they blew it, right?
They had four hits.
They blew it.
And, I don't know. I never felt like they... I mean, they weren't hitting that day. That's all.
By the way,
they didn't win.
Who is Josh Naylor's base running coach?
Yeah,
that guy got thrown out twice. It's not like he's a speedster.
Thrown
out twice at the plate, trying to steal home.
Mind-boggling. It was trying to steal home was the one where you're like, what? Really? Who was that?
I was like, thank you very much.
Yeah, that didn't make an ounce of sense.
No, it didn't. And that game took forever. That was like an Easter Sunday marathon.
Well, there was the 90-minute rain delay, and then the game took forever. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Well, they started it, and then they stopped it.
Show of hands of who was in church that long. I'm guessing nobody. All right, we got the pick six. We're going to get to it. We're going to pick apart all the stories of the weekend, and we'll have some fun this morning. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you disappointed that after 90 minutes of a rain delay, then over a 3-hour and 15-minute hours of 11-inning baseball, that the Cubs suffered a 3-2 loss to Arizona, denying them a sweep? How about the Cubs entering the game as the best offense in baseball and then just managing only 4 hits in 11 innings of work?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to call it disappointing. You know, I keep harping on this idea. They're winning series, right? It's been fantastic to watch. They won another series. It's, you just get so greedy as the series goes on, and you think they had this unbelievable comeback, and then they handle the second game, and then you, it's there for the taking. It was there for the taking. It didn't matter how many hits they managed or how little production they were getting. You had a couple of situations where you could have won that game, or you were just one moment away from getting a win. So it ends up, I mean, I don't know how we can't feel good about what's going on with the Cubs, given the difficulty of their schedule and how good they have been this month. So I'm trying not to get disappointed that they didn't win a game like that, because they won the series, and that's a difficult thing to do. But yeah, of course you do. Of course, when you don't kind of finish the job and you're in a position to, you do feel a level of disappointment. I would be lying if I said I didn't.
Yeah, disappointed is a good word for it. But then your other good word you used there was you get greedy as a fan. Yep. and you want to take the broom out, and that's a good team. I mean, they're going to be around, and they threw their top three guys at you, the Cubs, and you responded the way you did. I mean, and so disappointed, sure, but again, you have to take a step back, and in a day like today is a good day to do that with the off day. And the fact that they are 14-10 right now is pretty amazing, right? I think everybody was in agreement. If they get through April, and it's still a ways to go, and it's a couple of tough teams to finish out the month, it's not over yet, but nice little cushion they've built for themselves here.
It's just the way it ended. It's the mistakes that were made in extra innings that made you feel like, boy, that was one they could have won. And you're in extra innings, and you got a fielding error by Nico Horner, usually sure-handed Nico Horner, and you've got John Birdie on the bases do that. You're like, well, that was a game that the Cubs committed uncharacteristic mistakes and lost. So you feel like you could have won, and you feel like you're there. Why not finish the job? You're in extra innings in the finale of a long day at Wrigley Field. Go ahead and win it. And when you don't, it's okay to be disappointed. Yeah, they're in a good place. Yes, Monday will be hit reset and relax. And the Dodgers are coming to town. That won't be easy. Shota's pitching tomorrow night, right? Shota's pitching against the Dodgers. You got a two-game set against the Dodgers, the continuation of the Tokyo series. This is the last two games. The first two did not go so well at Wrigley Field in Japan, whatever, Japan East or Wrigley East, far, far east. But I think that now you can look at what they've accomplished and feel good about it. But yeah, I feel like that was a game that got away. They could have won that game. Tyone was terrific. And the bullpen is my biggest concern, even though the third base is unsettled because of the Matt Shaw decision last week and all the now different cast of characters they're going to have there. Four guys are going to share the position. We'll get into that. But I just felt a little bit, disappointed after yesterday.
Wow, that's a good question.
Voice of John Heyman will be here this morning at 9 a.m. Cubs pitcher Brent Baum called his team's everyday lineup, quote, the best in baseball, end quote. So how much of that was an exaggeration? How close are they to being that if you don't believe it? And what's the biggest reason why there's even a debate?
By the way, hearing John Heyman's voice put the pressure on me. I hear Biggsy really impressed John Heyman last week. So now I'm going to really, I don't know. It's a tough act to follow. So can't wait till 9 o'clock for that. I think Ben Brown, I love hearing him say that. You want your pitchers to be the hype men for your hitters. And when he says that they got the best lineup in the National League, I love the fact that he believes that. I think the Padres would beg to differ. Certainly the Dodgers would. Those are two lineups that would give the Cubs a run for their money. The Cubs right now, because Carson Kelly's the hottest hitting catcher in the majors, can stake that claim. But they have four third basemen, and I don't think that when you have four third basemen, you have the best lineup in the National League. You have potentially a lineup that can stack up to any other. It's an arguable point to make. I love the fact that he can defend it. I love the fact that he's creating the debate about it. When you have Kyle Tucker and you have Suzuki and you have those guys off to the starts they're off to, yeah. I'd like to see Dansby Swanson start to hit again. What happened to that torpedo bat? Did he lose that? Because it seems like it's too heavy now or something's a problem. So for those guys to get going is what I need to see for me to agree with Ben Brown. Although I love his confidence in his teammates, I love the fact that he's not afraid to put that out there, and I love the way he's been pitching lately.
Well, the reason we're able to have this conversation is because the bottom of the Cubs' order has been delivering. Something that on paper when we first started talking about the prospects of the Cubs season, at least I'll put my, I was very worried about it. I did not know that the Cubs would get this kind of production from the catching position. It's been unbelievable. Carson Kelly has been a fantastic addition, and Amai has been good as well. So this has been a great duo, if you will. PCA has come around. There were calls for him to be benched, maybe even sent back down to the minors. He's come around quite a bit. Nico has had a nice start. He's hitting over 300. I mean, the issue is, and the question is going to stand, is do you leave Swanson batting fifth or sixth?
No.
Like, do you have to drop him down and move everybody up a spot?
Asked and answered, counselor. Okay. That's a very good point.
But again, I think the reason we're able to have this conversation is because the lower third of the order has delivered in a fashion that we have not seen around here in a long time.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I also saw going into the game last night, they now have three players that are listed among the top 10 in WAR in MLB baseball, and one is that catcher you're talking about. My God,
Carson Kelly,
has he been good? He's been absolutely fantastic, and obviously we know how good Kyle Tucker is, and PCA kind of went through a little lull, but has come back really strong.
West.
He went west,
rediscovered it.
He hit
PCLA.
West. No question about that. Back in his home state, he really went to work, and it's fun to see three guys among the top 10. That's pretty impressive stuff. So you got some people doing extra work, but I'm with you, David. I think that, you know, you would like to figure out a way to get your shortstop hitting a little bit and figure out who your third baseman is. I don't think they have bad options, but as you say, when you get four different guys kind of filling in at a position, it makes you wonder, why didn't you just get Bregman, I guess, right?
Wasn't that guy available? Boom. Got me.
Not intentional.
Ouch.
What was the other part of that question?
Will Friday's incredible comeback victory go down as the best game of the season, or one of the best games in team history, or one of the best in MLB history? In the seventh and eighth innings alone, the two teams combined for six home runs, two grand slams, all four types of hits, all four types of home runs, and 3.5 innings of 5+ runs. According to APA stats, that has never happened in the history of an MLB game, let alone in two innings.
That was unbelievable. I mean, that was one of the, first of all, that was really deflating that they gave up all those runs. But then the way they came right back was sensational. That was one of those games that made you feel like there's some magic going on here. You know, you didn't enjoy seeing the things fall apart, but it was fairly sensational that they came back and that none of that mattered. And even Craig Counsell, as you know, monodrone as he can be, and he was like, well, then they came up in the third inning.
Monodrone?
Well, he does kind of.
Kind of monodrones on?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem very excitable.
No. But
not even that.
But he was kind of like.
Did he even smile?
He didn't.
Did he crack one?
He didn't. He just kind of reacted. It's so strange. Can you be too even keeled? I mean, because that was one of those games where you were just kind of.
I'm going to have to decide about how I feel about that before you answer.
It was just one of those games.
I'm not reacting to anything.
You don't see games like that. It was like that game. What was the game, the 22-21 game or whatever, that lasted forever? I just thought it was, it's kind of one of those games that you write down and you save, and then when you look back on the season, you contemplate that as turning point. It had that feeling to it.
Absolutely incredible game. I mean, keep in mind, that game was 2-1 heading into the bottom of the seventh inning. And they were talking the day before about how crazy it could get there. The weather, the wind was blowing out to left center, and all of a sudden it's 2-1, and it's going into the bottom of the seventh inning. And then the Cubs explode, and this goes back to what we've talked about before. So now they all of a sudden have a 7-1 lead, and you think that's kind of the magic number for the Cubs. Somehow that bullpen blows that lead. My wife and I were in the car. She turned off the radio, changed from the score to FM music. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I can't take it anymore. I drop her off at the door of where we went. She got out of the car. I couldn't park where I wanted to park. I had to go around the block a little bit. I turned it right back to the score, and Pat calls the home run as they're making the comeback.
Great timing.
It was, and then I walk in, and I'm like, are you looking at the TV? I'm like, did you see what's happening here? It was unreal. A game I will never forget.
What FM music did you turn on?
I don't remember. I'm sure it was a Odyssey station.
I'm just curious.
I'm guessing it was. I'm guessing it was
Odyssey station.
I'm guessing it was
Company Guy.
US 99.
Checks in the mail. The bonus is in the mail. There, Company Man. Look, this was historic, and you sensed it as it was happening. And just like you, Dustin, I was listening to Pat and Ron and Zach, and in real time, Zach texts me this from the booth: "We are watching a classic. It will be replayed for years to come." And that was in the midst of that big inning, the one they made a T-shirt out of already.
Yeah.
That's
the
awesome.
Eighth inning T-shirt.
All kinds of records being set. The largest run production in an inning at Wrigley Field ever in its existence. And you feel better about talking about it in Chicago this morning after the Monday after because the Cubs won. Had the Cubs lost that game, we'd be assessing the lasting damage psychologically to a team that you wonder if they can get over the top.
Right. This bullpen, the bullpen broke.
What are you going to do about the bullpen?
What are you going to do about the bullpen?
You can't.
Jordan Wicks obviously can't be a bullpen guy. He can only be a starter.
8 pitches, 5 runs? Was that what his line was on Friday? Goodness sakes, that's bad. I was surprised. I was glad he got out of that yesterday. But all's well that ends well. And now you're right, Molly. Instead of asking those, difficult questions that nobody wants to ask in the course of a season, you're looking at this team and you're wondering if you're going to point back to that moment. It's like, wow, that's a sign of that resilient team. And even Craig Counsell smiled.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a scary good question, right?
Voice of Bruce Levine is with you guys at 8:25 this morning. The White Sox place veteran Martin Perez on the IL with an inflamed elbow. How bad of a blow is this? And do you think either injury to Sox starters or ineffectiveness will have any impact on the timetable of the youngest and best pitchers in their system, AA, Hagen Smith, Noah Schultz, or Grant Taylor?
I think that when you read about Martin Perez saying his goodbyes in Boston as he heads back to Chicago for either imaging or the next step in this injury, given his age and given his just got a lot of miles on those tires, and you worry and you wonder. And he has been the guy that you counted on and has provided some stability in that rotation. And I don't know what's next for him. It doesn't bode well if a veteran who understands arm injuries and how it works. I want to know more about how final were those goodbyes he was saying. Was it like, I'll see you later, I'll see you at the next road trip? Or was it, I'll see you when surgery is over and I'm recuperating? I don't know, because I don't think we know yet. And if there's a detail that I'm missing, let me know, because Martin Perez, I know it's the White Sox and you're expecting them to lose more than they win, and all those things remain true, but he was somebody that you could count on to give you a professional start once every 5 days.
Great point. You did expect that professional start. He was the guy that I thought that was most valuable, because if he did stay healthy and did continue to be an innings eater, he might be something that you could move to get something back in return. Now you wonder, has he already thrown his last pitch as a White Sox?
Yeah, the first thought I had was of the trade deadline, the trade value. He had you know, as we have talked about, somebody there knows something about pitching, and they have they really were getting some good outings from him. And I did think that he might be a guy that you would move at the deadline, which, again, I'm not – it's an awful way to look at a team anytime anyone does it. Oh, could you trade him? But I think that I also was thinking about a conversation we had with Bruce Levine last week where, you know, I was telling him that I had been watching, I think, one of the Friday games. They have really good access on Fridays on the Chicago Sports Network. They do like a special edition, and they had Josh Barfield, the assistant general manager, in the booth talking to the guys, and Stoney asked if they had, and this is before they even got rid of Clevinger, he asked them if they had a reliever in the minor leagues that they felt could eventually be a closer. And I was just surprised to hear him talk about Grant Taylor in that fashion, that they've had internal conversations that eventually could be where he lands.
Oh, I wondered about that, yeah.
And Bruce made a really interesting point where he talked about traditionally how the White Sox, and anybody who's watched the White Sox for a lot of years, traditionally they would bring up a guy like Mark Burley as a bullpen arm who eventually then becomes a starter. Chris Sale started it as a bullpen arm who became a starter.
Crochet
is another great example of the exact same thing. And it made me wonder about all these guys. You know, if there are pitching limits going on, could they fire those bullets at the big league level?
Well,
when you look at how bad their bullpen has been,
that's the point of the exercise, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Get them up here to try to help.
You could get them up here. You could develop a pretty impressive bullpen. You could get a lot of innings out of these guys. You could build their arms up differently than just stretching them out and having them start X number of games.
I agree. It's how you look at them.
People don't do that anymore in baseball. They don't. But it really made me think about that because I don't know that the White Sox have a lot of guys that have had Tommy John surgery, as we talked about, like six players.
Yep.
I don't know how many arms they have. If you start running out of starters, how many guys are you going to bring up? Is it going to be kind of mix the group together?
I see.
And it made me wonder if that would be like, I want someone to shoot that down and tell me that can't happen. Maybe the next time we talk to Stoney, but it made me contemplate that idea.
If you view them as out-getters, you won't worry about that problem as much.
Exactly.
That's another really good question.
The White Sox, 0-79 the last year when trailing after six innings, 0-12 this year until the 22-year-old catcher Edgar Cuero came on as a pinch hitter and hit a two-run single. Shouldn't he play every game? Nevertheless, how wild is it that the last Sox player to drive in his first two MLB RBI in the seventh inning or later was GM Chris Getz, according to MLB Pipeline.
That is just isn't that a strange coincidence?
Where'd that come
from? It was super weird. I like what Edgar Cuero's doing. I think it's great that they brought him up. I felt, and we discussed it last week, David, that they wanted to bring Teal up ahead of Cuero and that they kind of got out of sync because Cuero was hitting so well. But what I love about the kid is you hear him interviewed again after the game, and he speaks really good English. And apparently, that's because he's been taking these crash courses to learn English. He feels in order to be the catcher, to do that role, he must be able to communicate with his pitchers. So he's gone out of his way to improve in that area. You see something like that happen?
He
just turned 22.
22.
He turned 22 like 2 weeks ago. He's barely 22. I know it shouldn't matter, but when you think about it, he's basically on the long end of 21. I mean, the guy, it's extraordinary how quickly this has happened for him and what he's doing. And I just love the idea that he came into a big moment and delivered and that they had a comeback victory, which you do not see from this team. And he looks like a promising player.
Did you just put him ahead of Kyle Teal in your Mully power rankings?
I'm just saying, I think they thought Keel was the better catcher and that Teal was going to be the guy that was the better hitter. And then when they opted not to make the club,
we're
going
to have to revisit
him,
this later. I want to know the Mully prospect power rankings.
It depends on whether or not they'll use these all these pitchers as relievers.
Exactly. All these are related.
I just want to know, like, who keeps track of this stuff? Like, how does one, like, connect those dots that all happened when it happened? I find that fascinating to me. It's very, very ironic, right?
I want to see as much of Edgar Caro as we can now. There's not much to lose. I know you can't play him every day. You don't want to expose him. And once pitchers catch up, obviously we have seen this movie play out before. But the Sox have so much catching depth in their organization that if he's off to a good start, you ride this as long as you can. The most impressive Edgar Caro highlight to me wasn't necessarily the hits that made this kind of odd sort of trivia necessary or worth pointing out, because don't we all remember Chris Getz's first couple major league RBIs? Yes. There wasn't quite the buzz created around Chris Getz as there might have been around Edgar Caro, but I love the way that he threw out the base runner. I forget who it was trying to steal, but he just stood up and fired. And it was a great throw. It was a quick release, and it was over. I think it was on Saturday. And so you like that defense behind the plate. You like the Sox' commitment to being strong up the middle. And Edgar Caro could be here to stay.
And with that, I'll take your questions.
How big of a deal was it that the Bulls fired shooting coach Peter Patton, a popular assistant among players, many of whom credited him with their improvement from the field? Sign of a deeper problem or minor staff move?
I don't believe it's something you can just shrug off because of the attention that was paid and the credit that was given to a shooting coach that made a team better shooters. More than one player mentioned Peter Patton. His name came up a lot, it seemed, for a assistant coach with a very specific role and a very specific job. He's the shooting coach. You have a team that was committed to three-point shooting that didn't necessarily have a roster full of three-point shooters. That guy mattered. That guy's gone. And I do think that when you look at what happened last week and the way it was explained, and the lack of clarity that exists, this is not something to just dismiss as a staff change that has no meaning or significance, because it does suggest there's some communication issues. It does suggest that there are some things that might not be as harmonious as you would want them to be behind the scenes. The Bulls are really frustrating, and they are at the point in their growth where it requires some very candid conversation and observation and evaluation that I don't know that they're capable of doing or committing to. And that is a bigger problem than losing your shooting coach. But losing your shooting coach in this manner suggests that there's things beneath the surface that need addressed.
Yeah, this is one that's kind of, unless you're really inside the Bulls, I don't know what the exact answer or reasoning is. Reading up on it a little bit, it sounds like there's some guys in the developmental staff department that might be headed for other jobs, so perhaps they like those guys more than they like Patton, and they wanted to give them a bump up in order to secure their future with the team. But now you want to see if any of the players go to social media and have thoughts. Kobe White, right, is a big proponent of his, and his obviously shooting has improved quite a bit. So
How about Giddy? Josh Giddy.
I'm sure he's not giddy over this move.
Giddy up.
I was totally confused by this. It was one of these things that, you know, you read everything and you follow everything, and then you see something like this and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, what's that about? Wasn't that guy doing a really good job? Didn't they really like the way their shooting had improved and they had promoted him? And then you just don't know the inner workings. and it makes you want to call somebody. And, hey, what the hell was that about? And there, I haven't read a lot of explanation. You just don't know. You just, it's a weird one because you thought that he was getting a lot of kind of feedback, positive feedback, and then you find out that maybe that wasn't the case from the organization. And then you think, are the players and the organization on the same page? And we don't know if they are or aren't. We haven't heard from anyone yet. But it's a strange one. It was just a guy whose job was, he was like their shot doctor, and their shooting improved. So you just kind of conclude that he had done a good job. But, you know, you don't base that on anything. I haven't
Results
heard,
is what you base it on.
Yeah, but I haven't heard, like, yeah. I haven't heard, like, the coaches or the administration come out and say, oh, this guy has been the difference. Like, I haven't heard that.
Right. I think that's that is an interesting observation. I also think that when you do talk to some people surrounding it, he does have a reputation for being very competent and also for being very candid.
Yes.
And sometimes one can get in the way of the other.
Oh, yeah. Not everyone needs your candor.
Right.
Sadly.
Sometimes, yeah, the truth does hurt. And I wonder what role that played in this decision. But it's just, as you say, you don't hear publicly Billy Donovan or AK talk much about Peter Patton.
No.
But you do hear from players.
So that makes you wonder.
It does make you wonder.
All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes. which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
With the NFL draft just around the corner and no trades of picks happening to this point, do you have any idea what position the Bears are looking to land? How many different ones are possible in your mind? Are the odds better for the Bears to trade up or to trade down?
The odds are better to trade down. I don't want to see them trade up necessarily. This is the draft you go into and you ask this very easy question if you're Ben Johnson and if you're Ryan Poles. But this is Ben Johnson's draft. Can you envision this player starting in a Super Bowl for us? You have to look at it that way. This is your Super Bowl draft. This is a team that you're putting together not to go 9-8 next year, which they are going to be capable of doing, not to sneak into the playoffs or compete for a spot. You're building your roster to win a championship. If you're not doing that, you're doing it wrong. So at number 10, you're committed to using whatever you can within your power. Maybe it's trading down to accumulate another selection, but I think that you can stay there and get a player that helps you accomplish that primary goal, that big picture goal. Find me a Super Bowl starter. It could be Will Campbell at left tackle. I hope that it is. It could be Ashton Jeanty at number 10 if he drops at running back, because that would be fine with me too. It could be Mykael Williams, the edge rusher, if he's there and you want to go that direction. I don't think you can make a bad choice here. I don't know if it's one of the two tight ends. I might have to be a little bit more persuaded and talked into that idea. But with Tyler Warren, okay, I think he's a great football player. I don't know if 10 is too high for him based on what I think the Bears need right now or what they will need in the next 3 to 5 years as they chase a Super Bowl and a championship. But if you stay at 10, you're going to get a player that you can envision starting for you in an NFC Championship game to get you to a Super Bowl. When you have three picks in the top 41, those three guys better be guys that you can envision in the same roles for big moments, to make history. This is the draft you go into with that mindset. If you don't go into it with that mindset, you're thinking too small. This is the year of thinking big. Do it Thursday night.
I did not think of it that way, but after listening to you, David, I could be all in on that. And when you said think big, I think that's where the Bears need to go. I think they need to draft somebody on Thursday night that weighs over 280 pounds. And I don't really care at this moment whether that person
There's
is
a weight limit?
Well, over 280 pounds. Right.
Okay.
He can be on the offensive line. He could be on the defensive line, but I want the player drafted on Thursday night to weigh over 280 pounds. And to be honest, I think the only position that they won't draft at number 10 is quarterback. Otherwise, I think any position wouldn't blow me. A linebacker, maybe. Again,
why
if you want to get into the whole like edge rusher, like they won't draft an inside linebacker. Okay, let's put it that way if you want to get real specific about it. But quarterback is the one. I mean, if they drafted another defensive back, if they were able to get the best defensive back in this draft.
Corner from Michigan?
That wouldn't, I wouldn't, but and to answer the other part of the question, I'm with you as well. You trade back, you don't trade up. I still think the Bears are lacking depth all over the place. And now to your point, I think they're lacking two or three guys that would get you to an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I think what's fascinating is that you talk to enough people around the draft, and there is just a limited number of what you would call blues. And that means, like, elite contributors immediately that would really help your team and be among potentially the top five at their position moving forward. A few of those won't be around. Whether you like Cam Ward or not, he's considered the first player that's going off the board because of the value of the quarterback position. I would say Abdul Carter is a guy that has that kind of a grade on him. I would think that Travis Hunter has that kind of grade on him. Those are players that are more top five guys that you're not going to get at 10. The interesting ones are guys like Will Campbell, Mason Graham. If Mason Graham could slip,
you take him.
Oh my God, would that be
you
a
take
godsend?
Him and you high five everybody in the room.
Oh my God, would that be
hail
perfect?
To the victors.
Yes, that would be a great pick to get. So now we're at like five, right? Is Tyler Warren one of those guys? A lot of people believe he is.
On some people's boards, yes.
And,
I think
Colston Loveland is, believe it or not, considered, I don't want to say he's not the same player, but considered potentially as impactful as a tight end. I
could be your Sam LaPorta.
Someone tried to compare him to the great football announcer, the former Bear star.
Greg Olson?
Believe it or not, I saw that as one of the
Is he good in interviews as well?
Apparently.
That could be excellent.
He has a future as a broadcaster. but I worry that none of those guys are going to be there. And then I'm thinking, what do you do at that point? What do you do then? I don't want them to trade up because the cost of trading up would be one of those second-round picks, and you cannot give that away, not when you have this advantage of getting your three before 24 teams get their second. That's a huge advantage. And if you're going to be good, those are the good teams. So make sure you're one of them. But if they wanted to trade down, if they wanted to make it a top 15 pick, and maybe it's someone like the kid from Georgia, the pass rusher, that's fine by me.
But he's only 260 pounds.
No problem. I know. Dustin
wants 280. 280, you're bust.
Yeah, I don't have any comment on that. That's kind of crazy. But I like the consensus idea of line of scrimmage, which is what he's really saying. So
yeah,
that doesn't bother me. But yeah, I think they can go in a lot of different directions, and I think I'm going to be happy with that pick regardless of which way they go. How's that sound?
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah. All right, we've got a lot to get to. 312-644-6767. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
Well, Tucker hits it, driving to right field and deep. It's got a chance. Gone. The Cubs have taken the lead. Can you believe it? Listen to Wrigley.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's going to be great. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
That was as great as it gets.
That was pretty awesome.
That was as great as it gets. And
that is
I think
an awful good player.
We're saying that because maybe, yes, the Cubs were the team that scored 13 runs and the Diamondbacks only managed 11. But what an inning. And what a benchmark in your season if it in fact goes the way that people think it could for the Cubs. Sign of resilience, something that's never happened before at Wrigley Field. Yes, it speaks to how shaky your bullpen can be, but more to the point, maybe how good your offense really is.
They got offense all over.
Galore.
I mean, it's amazing. And, when Seiya's hitting and he's hitting, Kyle Tucker is such a good player. I did not know that Carson Kelly was that good. Did you?
No. And I wouldn't get used to it. And that's no criticism, but I wouldn't get used to it. This is a spurt in his career that is unprecedented.
Well,
he is more than just this year's version of Yan Gomes from a couple of years ago. It's similar to that, but it's even better. But I do think that Carson Kelly is a guy who spent his offseason studying Barry Bonds tape. Was that what he did to get this power stroke? And he's shifting his weight in a different way. All of the mechanical things. He's just in a groove. He's red hot.
When you hear a player say, I'm going to hit like Barry Bonds, That's not what goes through your head.
No, no, it isn't. Especially with this power surge. What are you saying, Mully? No. Carson Kelly has been
just the studying of tape is my point.
Has been great, and Miguel Amaya has been really outstanding. They've gotten the most production out of the catching position as any team in the majors. They lead MLB in runs scored, walks, and slugging percentage. They're second. They also are stealing bases. They have 31 stolen bases. They're third in the league. Yesterday, they were 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. You're going to have days like that. But overall, offensively, this team is for real. And I do think that it shows you and it underscores what we have been saying with due respect to my guy, Cody Bellinger. I love that. I got a tweet while I was gone. Hey, Haw, what are you worried about? What about Cody Bellinger? Do you miss him still? Yeah, I do. I still miss him. Michael Bush is great. I still miss Cody Bellinger. But Kyle Tucker lengthens your lineup the way a superstar does.
I don't know this for fact, so I'd have to look it up. We have a texter saying Dansby Swanson has more home runs, hits, and RBIs than Cody Bellinger.
Might be true. Might be true. Does that mean you wouldn't take him still? We'll continue to monitor.
It means that the only solution for Dansby's issues is to cut him. What?
No.
No, that's not what
I'd like to see him get hot, though. Craig Counsell made a good point in his understated way the other day, talking about the strength and length of this lineup, in that when you're talking about guys who aren't quite hitting yet, it's kind of reduced to one guy. And he said that Dansby Swanson is one of the only guys really not into a groove and hasn't gotten hot. He was real early, a couple games, but he hasn't hit lately. And I'm with Dustin. Dustin made a good suggestion during the pick six, I believe, that Dansby Swanson, if he's going to hit like this, can't hit fifth.
I thought he said Dansby Swanson should put on at least 80 pounds.
No.
I get confused about
that. That was the NFL draft.
Oh,
and it was a 280-pound threshold. If you step on the scale and you're 275, Dustin, and we'll not draft you Thursday night. So forget it, Ashton Genty. If you get up to 280, we don't want you anyway.
Just trying to think of what Dansby Swanson would look like.
He would look like a big man.
He'd have to also like improve his height. He'd have to get to like, I don't know, 7'7" or so.
How much does his hair weigh?
He still has good hair.
Excellent hair. Best hair on the team. Think so?
Well.
Yeah, I think he's got the best hair on the team. You disagree? All right, we'll get to that later. After we get to Mully's prospect power draft or power rankings for the White Sox, we'll get to your hair rankings for the Cubs.
Don't link me to the White Sox, okay? He gets to talk hair, and I'm stuck talking
prospects.
About, yeah, no.
Okay, we'll get
I'm
to all of
I'm not the prospects guy. I'm the guy that keeps pointing out that every time you see a would-be prospect, you know, fail, makes me worry about the future of the White Sox. And there's enough of that going on, for God's sake. All right, we got a lot to get to.
We'll get to it all.
And we'll get to it all next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.